Would the real Richard Brown please stand up? I was thinking to myself, that's the best I've ever looked. Man. Hey, didn't have to say that, Rod. Something I want to reaffirm. I just want to, what Cara said about the Christmas boxes. You know, that really struck my heart because I remember as a young kid, my mum, you know, raised my brother and I as a solo mum. And I remember some Christmases, man, where, you know, there wasn't a lot under the tree, you know. And it was, and you know, like as a kid, you might feel like, oh, man, you know, is that all? But as a parent, it would be even harder. You know what I mean? Like, as a parent, it would be even harder to provide. So, man, get behind it. It's an amazing thing, and it's awesome to give into the community. And there's so many people out there that are in need. Hey, so the more we can support, and the more we can do, and the more is awesome. So let's get behind that. Amen. Awesome. Okay, I'm gonna pray. I just feel we'll be good. Church, yeah. Thank you, Father God, Lord. I just thank you right now for this morning, man. I thank you, Father God, Lord, for every person here, man. You're just watching over, Lord God. I thank you that you're smiling over us, Lord God. And I thank you, Father God, Lord, that there is life and light in our path and there is no darkness, Father God. Lord, we thank you that we represent the name of Jesus, for there is power in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We open our hearts up, ready to receive. Turn our ears on, Lord, to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Ready to receive is my message. It's quite interesting, actually, because my message is actually really about perceiving how we perceive things. But I think, you know, how we perceive things actually determines how we receive things as well. So it sort of ties in. I'm going to start off with a scripture that I love. You'll know, Isaiah 43:19. Okay, and it says, well, this is just a paraphrase of it, but God says, this is God, behold, I'm about to do something new. I know I'm banging on about this, but I'm feeling this, man. I'm about to do something new. And then God says, actually, I've already begun doing it, but do you perceive it? Can you actually see what I'm doing? Because God's already doing something. Even when it feels like he's not, even when you feel maybe like you feel far from God, so God's still working. And so God's still moving. But our job is to perceive it, okay? Because it starts in our spirit. It starts in our spirit, and then our soul catches up. Hey, you know, our mind starts to get engaged. We start speaking. We start thinking differently. And then we start doing differently. You know, to perceive, it says to become aware of, to realize or understand. To realize or understand and become aware of. See, God's doing something. And it's my job to be aware of what he's doing. It's my job to realize and understand what God's doing in my life and yours. Well, sorry, it's up to you. I don't need to know. I don't need to know what God's doing in your life right now. But we do need to become aware of what he's doing. And then you hear the word, so that's perceive. Eh? To perceive is to become aware of. Revelation is to make known something that was previously unknown. Eh? Have you ever been reading a scripture that you might have read 10, 20, 30, 40 times, and all of a sudden you read it and God puts it into a different context for you of your heart, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, I see that scripture differently. I see that scripture on this angle in my circumstance, and it all comes together. That's revelation. And revelation gets revealed to us. But to have something revealed, we need to perceive. See, you could be something could be getting revealed to you right now, but if we don't perceive it, then we're not going to get it. We're not going to get it. So I wrote this down. I saw this, and it said, when we change the way we look at things, things we look at change. Hey, so when we change the way we look at things, see, it's how you see something. It's how you see a circumstance. You know, I could be going through something really hard, and depending on how I perceive it, I could just be like, oh, man, this is so hard, you know, or it could be, man, I'm up for this. Man, God's behind me with this. God wants me to do this, you know, and so it makes it so much easier. See, when I first got saved, I learned this really well. When I first got saved in this church, I gave my heart to the Lord. I asked him to, man, just come into my life and sort it all out. Hey, you know, I felt like I came to God with my life in pieces like a jigsaw and just went, man, can you make something of this? You know, is there something that you can make out of this? And yeah, there were some really odd-shaped pieces in there, right? Hey, and then God was like, well, no, I don't need that piece. And I don't need that. Actually, we need this piece. And then he starts making the picture. But here's the thing. When I first got saved, instantly, and this cannot be explained, instantly, my life changed. Not physically. Everything in the physical stayed the same, but how I saw my life changed. Something in my spirit changed. Something in my heart changed. My mind changed. How I saw things changed. So all of a sudden, I'm in the exact same circumstance, but I'm seeing things so much differently. I'm seeing things so much better. You know, it's once I saw life differently, then I started to think differently. I started to speak differently. I started to act differently. And then my physical circumstances changed. But it first changed in my heart. First changed how I saw things. Only another scripture that I really like is Matthew 16, 15, 17. And we this scripture's been preached a lot of times. And it's about when Jesus asked his disciples, you know, what's the word on the street about me? Hey, that's what he's asking. Hey, what's everyone saying? What's the word on the street? And the disciples said, oh, some say you're a prophet, some say you're this, some say you're that. And I love what he did then, because he then turned it around and personalized it and said, well, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am, Peter? And we all know that Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of God. Hey. And then Jesus turned around and said, that's awesome, because this has been revealed to you, not by flesh and blood, but it's been revealed by my Father in heaven through your Spirit of God. It's been revealed. Hey. And so all of a sudden, Peter had an understanding of who Jesus was. I love that song, I am who you say I am, or along the lines of that, eh? I am who you say I am. See, this is saying, who do you say I am? Hey, Jesus is saying, who do you say I am? But do you know by perceiving who Jesus is, perceiving Jesus' identity actually reveals our identity? Hey, because the moment I say you are Jesus Christ, the Son of God, all of a sudden my identity changes. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm more than enough. It reveals our identity, you know, and I think that's real clever of Jesus. Because even, hey, real clever. Jehovah clever, man, I tell you. He goes, who do you say I am? But what he was really trying to get is, who do you know you are? I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. See, the thing about it is our identity is what we identify with. Okay, it's what we identify with, our belief, our values, our culture, you know. As Christians, our identity, we identify with Jesus Christ, amen? So there's no argument about that. That's our identity is in Christ. Pastor Robin mentioned the Jesus for New Zealand. You know, the thing about it was all about one man who decided to take the name of Jesus out of the parliamentary prayer, okay? I saw a placard at the Jesus for New Zealand, and this guy goes, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Trevor knows better than Jesus. And I thought that was quite clever. But this is the thing about it with Trevor Mallard. I don't hold anything against Trevor Mallard. I don't hold anything against Trevor Mallard, because at the end of the day, he has no spiritual understanding. He has no spiritual understanding. You know? And some would say a decision made with no understanding is ignorance, but you know, I mean, there you go. So he doesn't actually understand that there is power. See, this is the thing. The world doesn't understand that there's power in the name of Jesus. So they're trying to take the power away from every prayer. They're trying to take the power away from Parliament's prayer, because the power is in the name of Jesus. Man, since I first learned to pray, it was in the name of Jesus. Hey. So we know the power. We understand it, but they don't. You know, so yeah, I don't hold anything against them. It's funny, actually. People often make decisions and comments without any real understanding, eh? I was at the march, and when I was at the march, I was down the back corner because I was just trying to get through, running through the haka with some guys, and then they left. And then this old guy come up to me, and he goes to me, he comes walking up, and I could tell straight away he looked grumpy. He was like, and he come up and he goes to me, what's all this rubbish? Rubbish. It was all that rubbish. And I went, oh, do you not know what this is about? He goes, no. And I went, well, how do you know it's rubbish? Hey, fair question, eh? Fair question. Well, how do you know, if you don't know what's going on, how do you know it's rubbish? And then he said to me, well, is it the brethren? Is it Jehovah Witness? Who's doing this? And I said, oh, it's just a church. It's a church of faith. And then he swore at me yeah, and said that he was Church of England. And I don't know where that was going, but he went, I'm Church of England, rubbish, I'm Church of England. I was, mate, you just go to the Church of England then. Hey. But see what I'm saying? Like, people don't even have any understanding. They don't even know. They don't even know yet. They'll make a comment on it. They'll make a decision on it. They'll say something about it, and it's like, well, no, you know. And so, I find that we even had, when we did the haka, okay, it got posted up on this video, and someone jumped on there and goes, haka is not of God, okay? Haka is not of God. And then some other people started responding, you know, to it and things like this. But, you know, here's the thing. Again, this person takes one look. Haka has no understanding of haka, has no understanding of what the words were saying or what was meaning, had no understanding that we were glorifying God and lifting him up. It says in 2 Samuel 6:14 that David danced with all his might. Man, David danced with all his might.
Yeah.
I don't see David just praise the Lord. Praise him. Man, I see David doing a haka. That's what I see. I see David being mighty. And you know what I love about haka? No inhibitions, man. No inhibitions. You just roar. You just do. You just express yourself. You know, when you're doing a haka, you're giving part of yourself. So when we're glorifying God, we're giving part of ourselves that we're expressing to God. Eh? Have we got that video? Can we just show that quick clip? Thank you. Yeah, they cut off the end of it. Yeah, man. Some wild Māori's in there, eh? Ah. You see, eh, every now and then I'm looking back, looking over my shoulder. Nah, you know something, though? God brought that all together, eh? You know, like, I was really nervous the night before that, but you know what God said to me? God said to me, I got you here, and I've got you there, you know? But you see, we hadn't practiced it all together. We'd sort of gone around in little groups, and then God just brought it all together, you know. And the thing about it is, you might look at that and go, if you're uninformed, you might go, wow, you know. Ooh. But if you understand the words of the haka, you know, the spirit that it's intended in, and why we compose this haka, then there's some understanding there, right? You know, and you perceive it. So that's really what I'm trying to get to there. It says in Ephesians 1:17-19. Man, I'm going to read this actually word for word because this is a cool scripture. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Man. Eyes of understanding being open, because you know what? I think we're way more than what we see sometimes. Hey, we can sit here in our bubble and we can, you know, think that we're just doing our thing. Man, we need to realize that we're significant in the plan of God. You know, this center church is significant in the plan of God. Amen. It's really important to understand God and know your place in God, because then it helps you perceive who you are. You know, and seriously, how we see ourselves is so important. It is really important that we see ourselves how God sees us, you know. And I think sometimes we can be our own worst critics, but, you know, it's easy to sort out, eh? God's for us. See, it doesn't matter how much people can see good in you and how much people can see potential in you, unless you can see it, you're never going to believe it. Unless you can see it. I remember before I came to Christ, people used to go to me, "Oh, Richard, you've got so much potential. You've got so much potential." Hey. It was mum. Okay, it was mum. Yeah, okay. It wasn't everyone, it was mum. Okay, but I was going to say, you got so much potential. But do you know the thing about it? Even though it was a compliment, in the end, it would be like, oh, and I'll tell you why. Because I knew that. But I also knew that I wasn't doing anything with it. I also knew that I was falling way short of what God had in store for me. I was falling short of what anyone has in store for me. You know what I mean? So, So, we need to see what God has for you. See, if we can't see it, then we won't receive it. You know, and we need to start talking ourselves up, man. You know, like, we need to be a little bit more self-promoting. I know that sounds, you know what I mean? I'm not talking about being a blow. Hey, leave that to me, okay? But I'm talking about actually just, we need to talk ourselves up a little bit. I feel anyway, because I feel like we're way more than what we think. You know, because why? Not because Brownie says, because God says. That's why, because God says. You know, I was reading the scripture here, Luke 10:27, okay? And these people are all asking about how to get into heaven and what needs to be, you know. But here's the thing that Jesus said. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. Whoa, a lot of love. And love your neighbor as yourself. See, the problem today is that there's a lot of people that don't love themselves. So how can they love their neighbor? Because they're going to love their neighbors as they love themselves, but they don't love themselves. They hate themselves. So then what do? Then they treat their neighbor that way. See, the thing is, you need to love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind to truly be able to love people. Hey, let's be honest. Some people are hard work. Some people can be hard work to love. Hey, I'm not looking anywhere at the moment, okay? I'm not looking at anyone at the moment, but you know who you are. truly though, it is hard. It is hard to love people sometimes. Why? Because they don't love themselves, and they don't want to be loved. I find it really interesting that the first commandment, love God with all your heart. Everything comes out of that. Because if you love God with all your heart, then you can love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, then you're not going to commit, you know, steal off him, steal his donkey, take his wife. You're not going to do that stuff to your neighbor, are you? If everything stems out of the love for God. So that's why that's really important. So yeah, we need to love ourselves. You know, like, I'm not talking about gloating and, oh, man, I'm so awesome and I'm a man. I'm saying that we need to go, man, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. And when the enemy comes against you and he starts to try and, chip away in your ear, you can say, whatever. You know? Because who we're listening to is really important. You know, if we're listening to God or we're listening to the world. And it's really easy for the world to drown God out sometimes if you're not into God enough. See, greater is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. So if I've got a greater level of God in me than the level of the world, then it doesn't matter what the world comes against me with. I'm always going to hear God. But if I neglect that love for God, if it just sort of starts to simmer and the world starts taking over, that's when I'm in trouble. That's when I'm in trouble, okay? So who are we listening to? You know, because who we listen to will determine how we respond, how we receive things. So I put it like this: what lens are we looking at life through? You know, our perception is how we see things. So what lens are we looking through? Are we looking through God's or are we looking through the world's? Really important, man. Really important. I've got a scripture here, Numbers 13, okay? And this is when God talked about the promised land. Now, I would have thought that just in that title, the promised land, that it would be self-explanatory. Eh? You know, it wasn't the probable land, the possible land, the maybe land, you know, the 40 years later land. It was the promised land. Eh? It was the promised land. Okay? So most of us will know the deal in here. So they chose some people to go out and spy out the land. And in the scripture, it actually says, explore the land which I have given you. So that's the key word there. Given is past tense. Yeah. It is. It's past tense. So it's which I have given you. Okay. When they come back with the report, though, out of 12, 10 of them say, nah, it's all too hard. You know, it's all too hard. And funny enough, a phrase that they use, they say, we were grasshoppers in our own eyes. In our own eyes, we were grasshoppers. You know, because they were looking at the circumstance, they were looking at the obstacles, they were looking at all the things that God was going to sort out for them. But they were looking at that instead of lifting their heads up and looking past and seeing the promised land. You know, Caleb viewed things differently. Hey, and here's the freaky thing that I was reading last night, and I just thought of it. Caleb saw the same things that they saw. Caleb went to the same land that they went to. Caleb saw the giants. He saw everything else. He saw all of those things. And in spite of that, he perceived it differently. He said, nah, this is ours. This is our land that God has for us. Let's go take it, man. We can take it right now. Hey, he was hearty. He was hearty. I'll go up there right now and I'll take it. Hey, staunch, man. But he saw the same things that all the others saw. But what was the difference is that he perceived differently, you know? The way he saw God was different from the way they saw God. Man, I want to be like Caleb. You know, I don't want to focus on how big the problems and the obstacles are. I want to focus on what God's got. Because you see, if we focus on the problems and the obstacles, then we lose sight of where God is, isn't it? You know, and also too, the problem can become so big that God seems to be shrinking in the background. He's not, but sometimes we can feel that way. We can perceive it, you know. And here's the thing, we need to know that God is for us and he's not against us. You know, God wants us to focus on what he has for us. Not what's in the way, but what God's got for us. Amen? I'm going to finish with a story. Some of you might have heard this story, but it's all right. I always exaggerate them the next time I tell them. So it'll be much better this time. But I remember I was in Wellington, and I was a teenager. I was about 19 years old. And I was with a really good friend of mine, and we're walking down the street. And we're having a ball. We're laughing, having fun. We're actually enjoying ourselves, you know. And next minute we walk around the corner and there's these guys and they're up against the side there and we're walking past. And as I walk past, one of them says something to me. I didn't even actually catch what it was, but I heard something be said. And so I turned around and I said, oh, sorry, what was that, mate? I thought he was asking the time or directions or whatever. I said, what was that? And he wasn't asking the time. he wasn't actually answering a question. He was actually making more of a statement. Okay, and he said to me, you bleep, 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 and bleep, okay? And so I just went, whatever, mate, you know, like I'm just, I can't be bothered, mate, you know. I wasn't scared, I was just in a rush. And I had places to be, people, don't judge me like that, okay? I had places to be, okay? And so I'm just like, you, whatever, mate, whatever. Anyway, my mate's with me. My mate is, just to describe him, he's like 70 kilo wet. He's not a big guy. He's not a big guy at all. He's real small. And next minute, he turns around and I saw him puff up. Didn't help. Didn't help at all. I saw him puff up and he goes, no, what did you say? What did you say, mate? And he's like, and I was like, just leave it, Evan. Remember, we're in a hurry. We're in a rush. We've got that thing to do. And anyway, he goes up to this guy. Well, this guy walks out, and he's a man mountain. He's a man. Lucky I was in a rush, you know, but he's a man mountain. And he walks out, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. And my mate is still, because how he's perceiving himself is obviously a lot bigger. He's perceiving himself much bigger. And so he walks up to this guy, and he's looking at this guy, and he's you can see where I'm looking, eh? He's looking at this guy. And they start having a little bit of an argument. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, still worried about being late. I was like, so I jumped in the way and I was like, hey, guys, come on, settle down, man. I said, look at the size of you, mate. You're like, you're massive, you know, like huge. Like, we haven't even said anything. We haven't done anything. Let's just leave it at that, you know, the peacemaker. And then I don't think he received that very well. And then but this other guy comes over and goes, oh, yeah, well, I'll fight him. I'll fight. He's a smaller guy though, so we're like, actually, yeah, this could work. And he stands here and he goes, yeah, I'll fight him. My mate goes, yeah, well, I'll fight him. I'm going, well, of course you're going to fight him. You were going to fight him. Are you going to fight anyone? And so next minute, they start fighting. And it's like one-on-one, one-on-one. Everyone's like one-on-one. But the thing is, like, when he was just about to start the fight, see, my mate was very focused. He was like that, like just staring at what was happening in front. I was actually using what we call peripheral vision. And so I could see what was happening at the sides. And what was happening at the sides was all these other guys were coming. All of this big guy's mates were coming, and they're all coming around. And so I'm sort of like, now I'm really worried about being late, okay? I'm freaking out about being late now. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So I thought, I'm going to stop this. So there, that's when I jumped in the middle. Calm down, guys. Just cut it out. Can't we all be friends? And then next minute, though, it gets crazy. That guy says, yeah, I'll fight. We'll fight. And I'm like, sweet, okay. Let's have this fight, Evan, one-on-one, and then we're gone, okay? And so next minute, they start fighting. And I'm standing there, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, like, and Evan's actually, my mate's actually doing quite well. And I was like, yeah, sweet, yeah. Yeah, man. And then next minute, I just felt this presence come over me. It's like, oh, it's cold. The shade has come over me. And he's standing like this over the top of me. I'm just trying to ignore him. I ignore him, and then I'm slowly like. So I turn around, and he goes, this is what he said to me. He goes to me, you're a bit bigger, eh? Hey, you're a bit bigger, eh? Oh, don't worry. I let him have it. I said to him, not by much. not really that much bigger. And holy, I'm just standing there going, oh, man, this is terrible. And next minute, so my mate's fighting. He's still fighting. It's going on for ages there. And then next minute, they just all jump in. They just all jump in on my mate. What do you do? Hey, what do you do? You know? I'll tell you what I wanted to do. I'm going to go get some help. Just hold them off. Nah. So anyway, I jump in. Oh, it was devastating. Jumped in there, started fighting this guy, and then next minute, and this is a true story. This is actually a true story. As we're fighting, I'm fighting him. He grabs hold of me. He's a mountain of a man. Like, I knew I was going to get a hiding. You know, it was like, well, I'm going to get a hiding, but I'm going to go down fighting, you know? Like, I'm going down. I'm not going down on my knees. I'm going down standing on my feet. So we start fighting. I wish I'd actually just stayed on my knees, really, because he just grabbed hold of me. He didn't even hit me. He didn't punch me, nothing. I'm punching him, and he's just walking towards me. He wouldn't even put his hands up. It was quite demoralizing, really, you know? And then he just grabbed hold of me, and he just pulled me right into him like this. And I was like, what's he doing? And next minute, bang, he locked onto my ear. Seriously, he locked, and I mean like a pit bull. I need a breaking stick to get him off. And like, he actually bit a big chunk of my ear right off my head. Like a mass. I've had plastic surgery on this, I've had operations, I've had lots, they've done an amazing job, but, so that happened, boom, it's just going crazy then. He's come away, and that, seriously, lady, you know when you get your ear pierced and you hear that big pop? This was a pop, man, because I heard it pop, and then as he came back like that, I was just like, he was in shock. Like this, I was in more shock, and I felt it, and it was like, it's my ear, you know, and blood, man, and ear bleeds, man, like it just bleeds, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, where's my ear? Like, I'm sure I'm gonna need that later. And I'm looking around, and then I look up at him, and he's like, he's choking on it. I'm like, mate, trying to give him the Heimlich and clear the airwaves. And Long story short, though, no ear, no ear, no ear. Hey, Johnny, ear gone, ear gone, absolutely gone. And so by that time, like I'll admit, by that time I am the problem because like I'm losing my rag over this, fighting that. The police arrest me. Yeah. Well, in all fairness, by the time they got there, I was the most obvious problem, you know. Because I was the one bleeding profusely with no ear, running around screaming, yelling, trying to hit everyone. So they arrest me. It was actually quite funny too, because the police arrest me and they go to me. They put me in the police car and I said, "What am I being arrested for?" And they were like, "Assault, assault." I smashed his teeth over with my ear. Like it was like, "What do you mean assault?" I said, "I'm the one that's been assaulted." Eh? I was getting quite righteous by it. "I'm the one that's been assaulted." And it's so funny, the copper went, "Are we?" Yeah. Fair cool though, I was having a but he goes to me, "Are we?" And I went, "Mate, turn the light on, have a look." It was so funny. He turned the light on in the car, and the whole window was covered, the whole door was covered with blood, and he freaked out. He goes, oh my gosh, we gotta go to the hospital. You know, I'm sitting there going, "Yeah, wee." You know, you're having a cry just looking at it, mate. So I'm living it. And then so they rush me to hospital and they sort me out and they stitched it up and then they wrapped this bandage around my head. And I was like that. And it was so big, like seriously, it looked like a turban. And it was so tight that I couldn't actually see properly, so I was like, "We're going like this." Well, here's the moral of the story. This is the part I'm getting to, okay? So then my mate, he comes back in the morning, and I'm lying in bed with this bandage, like a mummy, bandaged up, half my ear gone, you know? He walks in. Smile from ear to ear. He's smiling from ear to ear. He's got a broken nose, two black eyes. I've got half my ear missing, and he's smiling. He's smiling at me, and I was like, "Mate, what are you so happy about?" He turned around, and he looked me dead in the eye. This is straight up serious as he goes, "Mate, we won." "We won, mate. Serious as, we won." I'm like, "I'd hate to see when we lost." So he goes, "No, we won, mate. We won." And he's adamant about it. I thought he was hitting me on. I went, "What do you mean?" He goes, "No, mate, we won." I said, "Look, mate, I don't know if you probably can't see under this mountain of bandage, but there's an ear missing. You've got two black eyes and your nose used to be there, but it's over here now. I don't know how we won." But here's the thing, and this is about perception, eh? This is about perception. He looked at it as, "Nah, mate," he said, because they were bullies. They're outright bullies, and they were looking for trouble, and they wanted to smash over some easy touches, and they were just freaking drunk, and they thought they were going to stand over us. And he said, "Did you see their faces when we stood our ground? You know, when we planted our back foot and we stood our ground, did you see their faces?" I actually saw one quite close. It was not up there, but... Said, "Yeah." And he actually looked all good. He didn't actually look that worried. But the perception of it is that he said, and you know what? I said, "Yeah, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that because we did stand up for ourselves, you know, and we did make a stand." And so, you know, it's all about perspective. But here's my thing, you know, like what is your mountain? What is your obstacle in the way? What is trying to hold you back? What is coming against you? You know? This might have been a fight in the physical, but it can relate to the spiritual as well. You know, many of fights have been won in the physical through the spiritual. Many of fights have been squashed before they even happen when they're addressed through the spiritual. So here's my thing. You know, what is that big... Because God has a promised land for us. God has our promised land in each and every one of us, our lives. You know, and so what is stopping us? What is standing in the way? What is trying to come against us? What is going to, you know, what do we need to do, man, to just keep moving forward into our promised land? Because I'll tell you right now, don't underestimate ourselves. Never underestimate ourselves and what we're doing. You know, just being a believer is significant, you know, and we are part of a much bigger, bigger picture. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that, yeah, open our eyes, Lord God. Open my eyes, Lord God. Open my eyes, Lord God, to see your greatness. Man. Habakkuk 1:5 says, let us be fascinated by you, Lord God. Man, you're going to do stuff that we wouldn't even believe if you told us, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, Lord, that you're readying your people to receive. You're positioning us, Lord God. You're strategic, Lord God. But Lord, I thank you right now that we see ourselves through your lens, through your eyes, Father God, Lord. See how it's not about us, Lord God. You know, one plus God is a majority, Father. So we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing in this nation, Father God. We thank you that you're moving on hearts. But I thank you that you're strengthening the body, Lord God. You're rising us up, Lord God. You're raising us up, Father God, Lord. Far above all everything, Lord God. You're lifting us up. So, Lord, we thank you right now. Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome.